Welcome to the Good Dad, Bad Dad podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Armand Sheffy, and my other host, as always, is here with me, Eric Schaefer. And we're two very different fathers, finding common ground in parenting special needs kids, sports, nerd culture, and who knows what else. But one thing that we do know, that any day you could be the good dad or the bad dad. We hope you enjoy. Well, hey, Eric, I thought today we would talk about some stuff that I think is often on my mind as I'm constantly thinking through the way that I lead. And like, I think even specifically the way that we all lead in our homes with a conversation around being honest and, you know, truth telling and vulnerability and all that stuff. And the first thing that comes to my mind really is how and when to really share the truth with our kids, right?
This is something that I struggle with every day because you want to be cognizant of your delivery to the kids, right? You don't want to hurt feelings. You don't want to maybe spoil something for them. But in essence, you don't want them catching on if you're not being honest, right? And then you don't want to become labeled a fibber or a liar. And so it's something I personally struggle with. How is that on your end?
Yeah, man. So it's a journey. I think for most of my life, honesty was a very flexible thing. It was whenever I felt like employing it and I was like, It was a scale that I could just move up and down whenever it suited me, until I really, until I really jacked things up and was like lying to my wife. And I mean, talk about being honest, right? So like, I cheated on my wife for the first 3.5 years of our marriage, and was not an honest dude by any means. And then when God got a hold of my life and that whole thing changed, like that was the centerpiece of our marriage, was going to be honesty. And the first hard conversation, I didn't even realize I was going to go here in this conversation here today. Okay.
This is vulnerability, right?
Yeah. But the first, like where the first real hard, honest conversation was actually telling my wife, because it wasn't a situation where like she found out and I got caught or something like that, but like,
so she didn't know at all.
She had no clue. Oh, wow. And I just was out and she was really trusting, you know, and God had just put it on my heart. It was like, and you need to tell her, because like I was a different guy, like, and I was living right and we were being honest about everything except for this really big lie that I was harboring, you know. And it was like 6 months after God got a hold of me that it was like, and he just put it on my heart, like, yeah, you're going to tell her tonight. And that was a really tough call. And from that night, well, I shouldn't even say from that night necessarily, because she kicked me out of the house 3 days later. I was 3 days out of the house with Layla, down to my mom's. Oh. I was like, I think this is over.
This is
it. Because she told me. Yeah, she told me for like, ever since we were dating, she said, you cheat, I leave. Like, and she would tell me over and over again, you cheat on me, I'm out. And
that's reasonable, right?
And totally reasonable. Like, I can't blame her. So, and that's in the back of my head as I'm feeling like compelled to tell her for what seems like no reason, because like we're doing great, you know? And ultimately she said she had a conversation with one of our good friends back then. And this friend was just asking her like, so, you know, do you want to stay in this marriage? And her answer was, you know, the guy that he is right now, that's who I wanted to be married to. And like, so she told me that because I had been a different dude for the past 6 months up to that point, that like, that made the difference and that made her decide to forgive me. But she said, if I had told her like 6 months prior to that, while I was still like, yeah, like she wouldn't have believed me. It would have been done. So that I didn't know that I was going there. I was saying that to say that honesty from that point forward became like a bedrock of our relationship. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because like, I was like, no. Like, even if we're totally in disagreement, I know we're going to fight about it. Like, I can't go back into that lying thing. And so I think shortly after that, I began thinking about, well, how does that work out in my parenting? And I didn't really know like how that works, because like, I mean, at that point, Layla's four.
Well, you're patching your relationship back up with your wife, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, from my perspective, that's your main focus. And now
totally
you have a curveball with your daughter, right? So now you have yeah. both, you know,
being yeah.
with your wife and being honest with your daughter.
And I think for a while there, it was like, you know what? She's four. Like, I mean, she thinks in red, blue, and green and doesn't know that there's like 18,000 colors. You know what I mean? So it's like, so the simple versions of everything seem to be sufficient until a quick, funny story, until around her eighth birthday. And I just shared a little bit about kind of like, you know, my faith journey there. But so like, I believe in God, and I'm trying to teach my daughter about this invisible God that I want her to believe in and trust. And at the same time, every year at Christmas, I'm telling her about this invisible Santa
that brings we presents, want her to believe. Brings joy,
yeah.
And
and at the same time, I know is absolutely not true.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm sitting here like, dude, you're destroying your credibility every year. And if you ever want her to believe in God, you better get off of this Santa thing. So before I tell that story, where are you guys at with Santa?
Right now, our kids still believe.
Yeah.
Kyle is on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, you know, he's fully given up that the man from the North Pole is not real.
Right.
But what we're worried about is once he finds out the truth, he's going to spoil it for Courtney. And I think Courtney would be one that would believe until she's like 14. she's a pure, you know, pure yeah. little girl. You know, everything totally. Is organic for her and real, and you know, she wants to believe all that, and she gets excited to leave the cookies and the milk out. She wants to make sure that there's enough for all the reindeers, and are we forgetting something?
And then, have you guys done Elf on the Shelf yet?
Oh, our elf is named Gary.
There you go.
You know, so Kyle is really not believing in Gary so much.
Yeah.
Because
Kyle seems so much like his father.
Yeah, let me tell you. He's my mini. We run as parents, you run out of places to put the elf.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes where mom and dad go to bed early and Gary's in the same place that he wakes up. So we have to sit there and tell the kids, you know something? Gary had a night off.
Right, right.
So now we're not telling them the truth.
Right, yeah.
And they can start, you know, Kyle picks up on that because he starts to realize that, huh, I think this is a story here.
Mm-hmm.
So we know when he figures it out, he's going to antagonize his sister. And,
totally.
You know, then I guess we're off the hook, right?
Yeah, then it's really ripping the Band-Aid off. It becomes a two for one there. That was actually our concern with Layla when we told her, because she was eight. She turned eight earlier that year. And I think I was just like, I was getting serious about my faith. And I think I'd probably become a leader at our church. And I was like, yeah, you know what? There is a real story behind Santa, like Saint Nicholas. And maybe I should just lean into that and like tell her all of this other stuff that's like not real is not real. And like Larissa and I actually were having a bit of a fight about it. Like she was not for it, was not a fan of that move.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, I just don't feel right about it, babe. You know,
I found out the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Like, you wait, when you say the hard way, where you found them like wrapping presents?
I was in third grade when I started connecting the dots.
See, that's like eight. That's like eight or nine.
Yeah, and I noticed that my mom's handwriting was exactly like Santa. And then in elementary school, like, I think it was like we were at recess. I believe I was still a believer then, and some kids just spoiled it. And it was like, it wasn't a blow, but you're kind of disappointed. And then yeah. I had to, you know, keep my mouth shut for my sisters.
Right, right. And,
you know, it wasn't soon after that that, you know, that was out of the bag. But even with my niece and my nephew, who are much younger than my kids, they believed for a long time. And then my niece figured it out. And she wanted to tell her brother and everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Ruin it. Don't ruin it.
You know, these kids, they don't keep secrets. Layla never. I don't know why it took me so long to realize that I could not tell Layla about what I got her mom for Christmas. Like every year she would ask me and I'd be like, okay, but don't tell your mom. And every year she would totally spoil it. And so when she turned eight, so back to that story. So when she turned eight and I was like, okay, no, I have to tell her, this has to be the time that she knows, like, I can't keep doing this. I remember when we sat her down and told her, she is the funniest thing. She had two statements that she shot back really quickly. And she goes, like, you see the realization hit her, what we're telling her. And then she goes, oh man, I'm not getting a Wii, am I? And I was like, what? Because you guys are broke. That's what she said. So she knew that we didn't have the money, but she thought Santa could. So that was realization one. And then the second thing was, so wait a minute. You mean every year you guys have been putting me on some stranger's lap?
Yeah. She's smart.
And it was like, smart. Yeah. And I was like, yeah.
But that's, yes, an elf. We have. That's an elf. That's one of Santa's guys that, you know, he sends down. And
yeah, see, no, at that point, it didn't make any sense to start making up other stories. Like, it was like, no, here it is. And now, welcome to the real. Here's the real. Here's what I believe. Here's what your mama actually believes. Actually, even when it came to the faith conversation, because Larissa and I aren't on the same page with that, there was an element of Larissa kind of pretending because she didn't want to, you know, damage the way that Layla looked at, you know, just trying to have a united front. So then I think at that point it was kind of like, well, all the cards are on the table now.
let me ask you this question. When you were having the conversation with her about it, mm-hmm. did you ever think that, oh man, this could have gone on for another year and maybe she would have found out on her own and you wouldn't have had to been the one that had break the news to her?
That didn't hit me. But honestly, if it had hit me, I think I would have thought about it in a very different way, because I think in the same way that I told on myself to my wife, it's a much easier thing to work through than it is them finding out that you're lying. Without you know what I mean? So you know what I'm saying? So it's like if you fess up, like, I feel like you actually have a better shot of maintaining. So, like, and I'll tell you this, like, my daughter's 16 and here, and maybe this is part of it, bro. I didn't even realize this till right now. She tells us everything.
Which is great.
Yeah. And like, that's, I don't think that's common. And I don't even know that I want to hear everything all the time, honestly. But like, because there's been some things I'm like, ooh, I don't know why you're telling me.
But it beats the opposite. You don't want her
absolutely, you
know, not every sharing everything with you. Not that she has to, but
right.
You know, sooner or later, she's going to realize that, hey, I can discuss things with my parents and, you know, mm-hmm. they're not going to get, you know, bent out of shape about what I'm going to discuss. And you kind of earn that trust, right? There's a trust between the three of you. And I think, you know, speaking of trust, it's, you know, another thing lacking from society nowadays.
The Good Dad, Bad Dad podcast is brought to you by Freedom Story Media, where we tell stories that inspire you to live a life of freedom and joy. Now let's get back to today's episode.
Yeah, yeah, man. I mean, and as these totally, I didn't even think about it, but these definitely go together, you know.
Trust and honesty, yeah.
Trust and honesty, like how do you build trust without honesty?
Well, I think you got to give and get, right? You just can't always receive it, but you got to give it. You know, I struggle with honesty because when I was younger, I wanted to please everybody. I wanted, you know, not to upset. And then I started realizing that I really couldn't keep track of all the stories. And had to have been the first couple of years Diane and I was dating that I just said enough. I'm not going to, you know, make life pretty and happy for everybody. I'm just going to speak what's on my mind. And, you know, I'm sure I hurt and offended a lot of people, but it was the truth. And I guess as harsh as this sounds, like if I'm telling the truth, I can't affect how other people are going to feel. Like it's just, it's almost, you know.
Not that you can't affect, but you can't worry so much about how they're going to feel. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, as long as I know my truth.
Yeah.
It should be all right. But some people don't.
And this is something that is, I really believe, at the heart of where we're at as a society right now that we're not figuring out. There's the coming out of dishonesty and wanting to tell the truth and hard truths, right? Like people need to receive hard truths. But at the same time, like some of the stuff that some of the rationale behind some of the dishonesty was for the sake of kindness and concern for others. And it's like, we don't need to come out of that as well. You know what I mean? It's almost like we threw away the dishonesty and the care about others at the same time. And like, you don't want to toss that baby with the bathwater. And so the challenge though is like totally leaning in to what's real and what's true and being honest. And yet still like caring enough to be thoughtful and, you know, have concern as we deliver the truth. And that's what's hard. That's what actually takes a lot of work. And that's what I struggle with. And I know that. So I end up being more like what you described. And that's what I've been struggling coming out of for years now, where most of my journey too was like, you know, just wanting to make sure that, you know, I didn't say the things that would upset people, you know. And I think for the past couple of years, I've been in this process of like trying to speak the truth, but like then feeling like, oh wait, I didn't say that in enough love. And it's like a dance that I'm doing of trying to find out how hard do I push this, or did I shape that enough that it's actually going to be received? Because it's like just sharing the truth for me, just sharing the truth isn't enough, because the point of sharing it is because I want it to be understood and received, and maybe not like accepted, but like I want the communication to be clear of like, hey, this isn't about me trying to hurt you or whatever. Like this is just what's true. And you know,
like it's something I struggle with it because I internally, if I speak the truth, that person's going to find out, you know, how I'm feeling and what I'm feeling. And on the other hand, I'm also kind of getting it off my shoulders and I'm kind of, you know, scot-free of it. But what I'm starting to realize now as I start to get older is what might be getting off my shoulders now is probably taking that and putting it on somebody else's shoulders.
Right. Yeah, man, that's actually a good insight. That's probably true. And I think actually that's why, and maybe this will be really great for both of us, just this podcast right here, because that's, I think, why it's so healthy for us to be able to process the truth with people. You know what I mean? And maybe it's not even the people that you necessarily need to communicate it with, but it's getting it out. You know, so it's not just all in there, because when it just stays in there and then you have those moments where you're like, I need to share this. Then it comes out with all of the things that, like, you're like, oh, wait a minute, that's going to hurt. Let me pull this out. Yeah. That I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that, which we can maybe do in a safer environment where it's like, hey, no judgment, conversation with a friend. It's like, hey, here's what's really going on. Blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And then now when you need to talk to the person who you're actually having that issue with,
you're like,
it's like, okay, here's the stuff that I think is healthy enough to share.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a challenge. It is a challenge.
The challenge that everybody has to deal with on a daily basis, and everybody, you know, is going to have to kind of deal with it their own ways. You know, it's unfortunate that feelings get hurt sometimes, but I think a lot of people, right or wrong, have their own ways of dealing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, bottom line though, is we need more of both. Like, we need more truth and we need more love. Like, yeah. And we suck at both as a human kind right now.
Yeah, 100%. There's somebody out there watching. Like, we're in a television show. You know, somebody else, and they got to be laughing at us right now.
Well, I believe that God's like, okay, I think so and so is about to figure it out right now. let me help him out. You know, so that's for me, and this is where I'm even coming from. Everything that I just shared actually is biblical. That's what Jesus has always said, that he came to bring the truth and to demonstrate love. And like, for me as a follower of him, that's what I need to be about. And the problem is, like, it's hard to do both. So anyways, but you know what? There are some easy things. Those are just the things that don't matter. Nothing important is actually easy.
Yeah.
So any other wild adventures in honesty or dishonesty with your kids?
No, I think crazy it's, story? For me, it's going to be a struggle as they start to get older. You know, we're not in that social media age yet with our kids. You know, they have their own tablets and they really haven't engaged in social media, and I think as they start to get older and they start to, you know, go down that path, I think, you know, they're going to find out how people truly are, and
yeah,
they're not always going to hear the truth, and people aren't always going to be honest. So
truly, and I like how you said that you're going to find out how people really are, because that's a conversation I've been hearing a lot about in regards to social media, where social media gets, nah, I know this is okay. We're about to have an honest conversation, because I know you and I are not on the same page with this. But social media gets blamed for a lot, and maybe we'll agree more than I think. But I think social media gets blamed for a lot that's not really social media's fault, as much as it is simply that social media has just become a platform that has exposed the jacked upness that is in us. And it's just an easy way for us to be fully human, which comes along with a lot of nasty.
I like when, you know, Facebook and Twitter first came out, it was a vessel that people could use to share what they were doing, how they were doing it. You can connect with people that you might've lost, you know, contact with years. And for me, yeah, no, I just see through it. It's a business. People are
well, sure, but it's always been a business.
Advertisements, you know, it's keyboard ninjas that hide behind a keyboard to cut other people down. It's just become a toxic place.
But that's everywhere.
I'm not a fan of social media. I go on Facebook and Twitter to get my news about my sports teams, the movies I like. Occasionally I'll like somebody's post or wish them a happy birthday, but sure. I'm not posting about myself or my family or my kids. You know, in this day and age, if you say something wrong, it's right back to your employer or other members of your family. And
yeah.
I don't need that headache in my life.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to convince you to do that. I think more. I know that we definitely have different ways that we get. Like, it couldn't be more different, right? In the ways that we engage on social media. But as far as like,
I guess
I'm just saying that the demonization of social media is the thing that I just don't agree with. And I think it's all it's done is it's like taking a chisel and a hammer and just cracked open humans. And it says, here, everything that's in there can get over there with great speed and consistency. And like, so you'll have plenty of good stuff out there, but you'll also have plenty of nasty stuff.
Oh, and it's a yin and a yang, right?
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
Good, there's always going to be bad. I think what you're doing with your network and your other podcasts, I think mm-hmm. social media for that is great, because how right. else are you going to get it out there, right?
Right, right.
Sure, you can have a website, but how are you going to direct people to that website,
right?
Right. Exactly. People just aren't going into their search bar and going to type in, well, right. there's a good dad, bad dad.
Right, right.
You know, I think for social media for that, it's helpful, it's useful. I just, mm-hmm. I don't use it as much. I just don't feel the need to show everybody what I'm eating and where I am and what I'm drinking. And
yeah.
But I, you know, there is good for it. And maybe one day my kids will, you know, make their own judgment on it. And I hope that they, you know, can realize early on that, you know, you got to test the waters before you jump.
Well, I think the thing related to social media that we definitely need to instill in our kids, and I wish I had done more of this conversation with Layla on the front end. So I guess it's a good time to give you like, here, let me help you out with this, is like work on their self-esteem and those insecurities now before they get into the social media, because like I said, it's cracking open humanity. So like now everybody's got access to all that gooey that's in them. You know what I mean? And like that does some things to them when they're not secure in who they are, or and they're so young, you know. And I do appreciate the age limits on the social media, and I think you'd be wise to like keep to those, because I know a lot of people who are just like, ah, whatever, like we'll just pretend that they're such and such age. But like we held Layla off until 13. I'm so glad we did, because that even right now I'm feeling like, man, she needed until now, like to get like, because there's an attachment that happens with likes and
it's a drug. Comments. It's addictive.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
You want that like, you want that impression, you want the interaction, and the more people you can reach, the better it is for, you know, your own agenda. What do you think? My kids are 8 and 6 now. What do you think the right age for introduction into that? So,
well, bro, I wouldn't even consider letting them on before 13, honestly. Yeah. And I know they're gonna be asking for it, you know. And maybe there's certain ones, you know. Well, and there's, you said they're 8 and what?
6.
8 and 6, yeah. That's funny that Kyle's 8 right now too. Like that was, I think it's the age of the Santa reveal, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's coming. I'll have to tape it, you know.
Yeah, you should totally do that. Just that to would see be his face. So great. That would be so... Actually, you know what? I bet you he would totally be like, yeah, I know. I was wondering when you're gonna tell me, Dad.
Yeah. Then it's going to be, how much are you going to give me not to spoil it for Courtney?
Oh man. See, if he says that, let me know, because that means he's a little entrepreneur and I would love to take him under my wing.
Yeah, he's cutthroat like that, man. His room is a sty. A bad sty, and I am so hard-headed. I'm like, I'm not going to help you clean because I didn't help you make this mess. Yeah. And he goes, well, if you pay me $5, I'll clean it up. Oh, come on, man. Yeah. Not at age 8. I love it.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, right now we let them, they each have their own iPads, and we kind of let them peruse YouTube, which... sure. He's still in that Lego building stage, so he likes to go on the different Lego building.
And we let Mateo use YouTube. That's what I was going to say. I think there's different versions of social media that work, you know.
So he, you know, fires up the videos and learns how to build different things with all the Legos. And, you know, Courtney falls down the internet rabbit hole with all of the princess and Disney stuff. And so right now it's still innocent for them. They haven't asked about it. So you know, I'm just inquisitive how, you know, others think and what age is right. And, you know, Diane and I've already started talking, like, what are we going to do when they want a phone?
Well, that's the first thing. Yeah. Because once they get to the phone, then shortly after that, they're going to start asking about social media. Cause that's where they get to it. Yeah, man. So Mateo has a quote unquote phone. Actually, I mean, the kid's got like two, but it's not really a phone. I mean, it's just his YouTube, one of his YouTube devices. You know what I mean? Because it's an old phone of ours, you know.
I get that. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I don't, I mean, with Mateo, I think we got a different, you know, scenario there. He probably won't be using a phone for many years.
But what you should do with Mateo is you should open up the Maps app and mark down all the parks.
Ooh. And then he can like go to it. Well, so he has a an iPad that he got from school that has, oh, I don't remember what the system's called. Maybe it's called PEX or something like that. But it has a bunch of different images of different things that he can request. And it's kind of his talking device as he's trying to develop language. And so there's a page on there that we have a bunch of images of different parks that we go to. So he like, but I think the map idea is kind of cool. So he can even get it even starts to teach him some of the geography of where we're at and where.
Then the next time he takes off on you, you know, I bought this over the weekend. I bought the Apple AirTag.
What is that?
Apple AirTag.
What is that? I've never heard of this. Tell me. Literally, teach me.
So, it just came out the beginning of April.
Okay.
And it works with your Find My iPhone app.
Okay.
It's a tracking
and it's device. And it's specifically basically for kids then, basically. Huh?
Anything.
Or is it for animals? Oh,
use it for keys. You can use it for your house keys. You can use it for your suitcase. This is no free ads for Apple right now, but since, you know... It's like a low jack, you know.
We're definitely getting that. You just got them a purchase right now. Because okay, so we're gonna tell this story and then we might be out of time after that. But so you alluded to it. Next time Mateo takes off, right?
Yeah.
So for our listeners, last week, or was that earlier this week? I don't even know. This week has been crazy.
It was last week.
Recently. Yeah. Was that last week? Okay. Yeah. So last week, I'm going on a walk a little bit longer than I normally would go. And I just happened to be in the right spot as I'm rounding back around the corner to hear Mateo barreling down the sidewalk on his scooter. And I hear this, you know, the wheels on the scooter, and I turn back and I see him. And I'm like, wait a minute, what are you doing here, Mateo? Like, what's going on? So I slow him down. Then suddenly Mama's running around the corner, probably at least a good 3 or 4 seconds behind. And I'm like, what happened? You know, and she's like, oh, you know, we were getting ready to go. And then I made the mistake of putting his shoes on first. And he got out the door and got on the scooter. And here we are, you know. So I'm like, oh, I'm glad I was here right now. So we're talking. We're walking a little bit as we're talking. And he's out in front of us. We just thought – since there was a park right by our house, oh, he was just taking the scooter to the park. He goes past the park. And we're like, oh, Mateo, slow down. Where are you going? Oh, we're like, oh, he wants to go on a little walk. Okay. And he doesn't slow down. He keeps going, Mateo, stop. He doesn't stop. He keeps going. And now I'm like having to like start to jog. And he keeps going. He's like starting to leave the whole park area altogether. Now I'm kind of picking up the pace. But this kid is on a scooter on the sidewalk, and I wasn't ready to run.
Right?
Yeah, I'm in flip-flops. I got my cup of coffee. I'm just literally on a leisurely stroll, and Larissa can't run. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, trying my best, and he's just going. And I'm screaming, stop, stop. He looks back and just keeps going each time. Passes one street. Goes down another block, crosses another street, goes down another block. We're now at this point all the way down at the school in our neighborhood, which is at least a good, I don't know, six something blocks away from us, maybe more than that, but it's a good clip. And I'm like dying, like so out of breath. I couldn't even see him by the time we got there, and he was at the school playground. Freaking kid just wanted to go to that playground. And like, I've never been so helpless. Like there was nothing I could do. I was like, and each time he crossed the street, my heart was just like jumping out of my chest. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, he doesn't stop. He doesn't look both ways.
I know your neighborhood and there's a lot of cars and some of the cars fly up and down those streets.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know, regardless of what is going on, but yeah, I don't know.
And so Even a day or two before that, ironically, my mom was like, hey, because she saw a story of some kid somewhere else that scared her. And she was like, you should get a necklace or some sort of tag that has your phone number on it. So if if he runs and someone's able to find him, that they know how they can call you. But bro, that right there, that sounds like an even better idea.
I think because what you guys have to figure out is how you can keep it on them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because right now, like, it's not much. It was only $25, and then you buy a case for it. But I was thinking more.
But it's so small. Show me it again. It's like a little. So if you guys are seeing this, it looks like a silver dollar size.
Exactly.
And what is that, like a little, what is that, a wristband or something on it? Or?
Well, I bought this band for my suitcase, but you know, Diana was like, "Well, if you put it on your suitcase."
Oh, so it was just the chip or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I bought the band for it.
Okay. Okay.
And then as soon as you open up your iPhone, it immediately syncs.
Huh.
So.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking more or less for my suitcase, because I do a lot of traveling for work, or my work backpack that I can't afford to lose.
Yeah. Do you have to keep it? Do you have to charge it?
No, it's a battery. So, you know, as the life goes on of it, you know, they said it'll probably last for a year to 2 years.
Oh, okay. And then you just replace it.
Replace the battery or just replace the device.
We might just freaking ghetto insert that bad boy in his shoes.
So,
like, you know, rip open the soles and
I hate to be that parent, but I mean, in this day and age, like, if my kids got off the bus early and I wasn't around, I would have no idea what would have happened. But, you know, I also don't want them to think like I'm monitoring them.
Yeah, you know? But there's a difference. There's a difference. I think, like, if I gave that to Layla, like, that's okay, Dad. Like, you're overprotective. Get over it. But yes, like kids, you know what I mean? Like, but like kids your age, like a kid, even like Mateo, if he was 3-5 years older than he is now, I still would want something like this with him, because it goes back actually to the trust. Right. So it's not even so much with Layla. It's a matter of me trusting her. Right. But with our kids, it's like, I don't know that I trust the world with you, you know what I mean? Right. And like that you even know how to engage with the world in a way that will keep you safe. So I would like to just know where you are. Yeah.
I mean, for $25 bucks and the cost of a band or a strap,
we're probably going to buy a few. Like, I'm just hearing you say that we're probably going to buy two or three of those. and have them in multiple different places.
Well, that's the thing is, not how are you going to keep it on them, you know, because I get that if you have a necklace, he might wear it Monday, but Tuesday it's coming off.
I don't even think he would let us put a necklace on him. He doesn't do that. But like, I think if we put, like, I would seriously find a way to insert it into his shoes and then maybe put one. I'm serious. You thought I was joking. Like, I'm serious. Like, literally, like, pulling up the inside of the sole and sliding it in there, or slicing open. Yeah. Or like in one of his devices that he uses all the time, you know, like in the case of that, maybe in his backpack.
If he's on a scooter.
Oh gosh, on his scooter. Cause that's actually really smart, because the other places, you know, I could catch him on that scooter. Like Larissa said, if I wasn't there, she said he would have so quickly been out of sight that she wouldn't even have known which way to go, because she didn't know where he was headed, you know. She just knew he was off.
Find my iPhone app.
Yeah.
When you log into that app, it shows where all your Apple devices are. Just like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I need it. Well, hey, who knew that today's episode was going to be some great product advice from Eric? Love it.
Definitely not me.
I wish we were an Apple affiliate. We could put an affiliate link in the podcast.
Yeah, I know, right? Apple, you got to give us a cut for all this free publicity.
Nice. Well, hey, man, this is a good talk today.
Good catching up. Hope you guys have a great Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy the extra day off of work. For everybody else out there, hit like, subscribe, leave us comments. Any and all feedback is welcome. And we'll be talking to you guys shortly.
Rate us on iTunes. We love to see the ratings. And hey, guess what? If you leave a review on iTunes, and then you tell us on our Instagram that you left the review, because they don't give us a notification, we will shout you out on the next podcast.
Name dropping.
Boom. Well, hey, we'll see y'all next time.
Have a good weekend, guys.